Greetings, my friend. This is the brain of TV's Pinky in the Brain. And you are listening to the Nerdcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Project Nerd's The Nerdcast, or The Nerdcast presented by Project Nerd, as Tyler likes to say it. And I've already tripped over my words in the first sentence.
That was bound to happen. I mean, at least you don't have to worry about, you know, pitching the shutout now. It's that's just gone. You can just focus on doing really well the rest of the time without having to be perfect.
Awesome. So, well, the normal team's here. We've got Adam, Bob, and I'm really surprised we didn't hear anything from Tyler after I messed up there. But we're also joined tonight by Matt of O Comic Con fame, I guess we could say. Hello, Matt.
Hello.
Hi, Matt.
So tonight is basically, I mean, everybody can assume, I know this will air on Friday, but we're recording freshly after the weekend. And if you're listening to this podcast, if you come to projectnerd.com, you've probably know something about a huge movie that came out this past weekend. Avengers Infinity War, obviously. So we're going to go heavy into that. But of course, when Matt's on the show, we always want to talk about the excitement that's coming in July to Omaha Council Bluffs. So I figured just real quick, I know I'm moving in quickly. I feel like we have tons to cover tonight. So let's talk
like, I want to talk about Avengers. But,
no, let's talk OCC first, though. Let's talk OCC. Okay.
So O-Comic-Con is this year, July 13th, 14th, and 15th. We have 14 guests announced that are media guests. We have another about 20 more comic guests that are going to be there. I'm really excited because, you know, it keeps getting bigger every year, and I'd invite you to check it out at ocomiccon.com.
Awesome. It does. This is year four. We've been there every year. We have a great time there. We always enjoy it. The whole Project Nerd team always shows up for this one because it is such a fun time. And always fun guests too. So I know recently just a couple wrestlers announced, including Booker T.
Absolutely. We got Booker T, which in the ring, we announced it at the local PWP. It's the local wrestling club. And it was fantastic because we were in the ring and we announced the O Comic Con championship belt. And we announced Booker T, and everyone, there was like 200 people in there, and they just started shrieking manly.
Sold 200 tickets right there. You sold 200 tickets right there.
It was wonderful.
Awesome. Yeah, and you showed us earlier, I don't think Adam was on though, so he might have missed it, the belt. There is the championship belt for the wrestling, because you did have wrestling last year in the second room. And this year, they've got a championship belt for it.
They will be back. They will be wrestling live for our entertainment. And there is a O Comic Con pop culture champion title. It's going to be great.
Hey, get back to my fighting weight. Holy crap.
There you go. Adam is throwing his name in the ring now. There you go.
I love it.
But it's not all wrestling. I know we got excited about the wrestling part there. But we were talking about just a second ago, some Sesame Street guests.
Absolutely.
Pop culture guests.
We just announced Peter Macon, who was on the hit TV show, The Orville. He's St. Bordis. He's not a saint, but I call him St. Bordis. I love him. Then there's young Boba Fett is going to be there. And then my favorite, Death from Supernatural.
Yeah, a good list. I mean...
I think you got to bring him food to talk to him, right? If I remember correctly from the TV show, you always need to have food.
In order to get a favor from Death, you have to have food. That's for certain.
Cheeseburger, something greasy.
Street food, yeah. But yeah, no. Again, super excited.
Not one for sharing food. So yeah, Ming Chen, I think I'm looking at the list here. You got Mike, which I know I got super excited and shared this with Adam's wife, Mike Fielding from the Mighty Boosh.
Yep, from the Mighty Boosh. I'm super excited about that. Like, he's coming from England. He doesn't come to, I should say the UK, not England. That's a big deal. But he's coming from the UK. And we're really excited because he doesn't come to the United States that often.
It's awesome. That's going to be exciting. I think I know where Adam's wife's going to be like the whole weekend. That's for sure. Covering that part. She'll probably want to do that interview for sure. On the creator side though, I'm super excited to see a couple of fantastic creators that we know well, and Caitlin Smith with Devil's Due and Plume fame. Allie Cantarella is going to be back. She just released a new book. My daughter still carries around the Hasty Pastry everywhere with the pugs and coffee. She loves that.
That's
one.
Wonderful.
And then Greg Smith's always a fun guy, but there's a number of other celebrity and creator guests on the website. As you mentioned, ocomiccon.com in Omaha Council Bluffs, July 13th through 15th. Exciting. All right, Matt, I made you do it. We're done. We can move on to the Avengers. This is what you're here for.
I know. This is what I'm here for. This is what we're all here for.
So I am going to warn up front. We'll talk a little box office numbers first, but if you have not seen the movie in this first week, pause the episode now, or maybe stop it, and then come back to it after you've seen it, because we're going full spoiler here. We're going full spoiler because there is so much to talk about and so much to digest. But before we dive in those spoilers, I know the stuff Bob likes to talk about, big numbers. Ooh, Bob.
Hey.
How big of a weekend was that for Avengers Infinity War?
Well, beat Star Wars by about 10 million. So we hit number one at the box office with 257 million.
Domestically.
That's domestically. Worldwide, it did about 630 million, which is 90 million more than Fate of the Furious, which was number one worldwide box office on that opening weekend. So it's just blowing the roof off everything.
Because we always love to reference Marvel movies against DC movies here. This first weekend, it's already done more money than Justice League's entire run. We're just putting
it out. That's my favorite money quote.
Exactly.
I mean, it really just puts them up against each other in a crazy light.
But if that wasn't big enough yet for Marvel, Black Panther still finished in the top five in the box office this weekend. Still finished top five.
I was tempted to go see it again. I mean, after I saw that, I was ready to go see it again.
I mean, yeah, definitely get you energized for it. But worldwide right now, in 2018, just 2018, Marvel is at $1.97 billion, almost $2 billion, with one movie plus one weekend on a second movie. And they still have Ant-Man and the Wasp coming out. And they still get, it's not a huge percentage, but they still get, they get noticed and a small percentage for what Fox is about to do. And if that Fox merger happens, I mean, only growing with that Deadpool and Dark Phoenix saga at the end of the year. I mean, Deadpool 2 just a few weeks away, which we know is going to do big money as well. Probably not Avengers money. I don't know if anything.
I don't think anything.
Avengers 4. Maybe Avengers 4 is the next time we're going to see something come close. But the quick question for you guys with box office numbers, does this have the legs of Black Panther? I talked a little bit about it with some other friends because this is the type of movie you go see weekend one because you're freaking out about spoilers. Right. Everybody who's invested any time in the past 10 years in the MCU was worried about spoilers. I swear people were making death threats on social media over spoilers. So does it have the legs, especially with Solo and Deadpool 2 due out
now? Absolutely not.
It doesn't have the legs, but it doesn't need the legs. Yeah. It's already made half of Black Panther's worldwide gross in its first weekend. So, like, it does not, nothing's going to have the legs that Black Panther has for probably ever, but it doesn't need it to catch it. So, I think it's a moot point. I think they probably finish pretty close to each other.
There's nothing that comes out this week. So, I think you're probably going to get about a 40% drop, which still puts it at about $140 million for the next weekend. And then the weekend after that, I don't even know what comes out that first weekend. That next weekend, I think it has legs enough to get to Deadpool. It'll have enough legs. Like I said, I've already seen people who've seen it like three and four times because they just have to go back and catch everything on it.
Well, I think here's the thing with Deadpool coming out that, I mean, that's R.
Yeah.
If your kid wants to go see Deadpool, I don't know about going to that R movie. Let's go see Avengers again.
Yeah.
I mean, like, look at it this way. If it has, which I don't think it will, but let's say it has the typical, it drops worldwide 50% from now. Like, next weekend, it makes 50% less money worldwide than it did this weekend. It will be, it'll still only be $40 million short of the $1 billion mark worldwide. If it makes 300, it makes 300, If it only makes $320 million this weekend, this coming weekend, it will be at $960 million. Like, it doesn't have the legs, but it doesn't need them. Like, it could have, it could have 250% drops in the next segment and be at like $1.2 billion.
So let's remember that currently, before we even talk about it getting to that number, or we are talking about to get to that number, sorry, five of the top 10 all-time worldwide grossing movies belong to Disney. Two of those are already your Avengers movies. So you would have potentially all three Avengers, possibly six. Well, no, it would knock, because it would knock Last Jedi or Black Panther out there. Well, Last Jedi, obviously, because Black Panther's still growing. So you would remain 5 out of 10, but you'd have 6 of the 11 all time if Disney gets, you know, up there. And to get up there, yeah, you've got to get to worldwide. You've got to get to about 1.33. And so, yeah, you're talking about having that pretty much 1 billion already wrapped up by weekend two. And then you're going into May. And good points. Deadpool 2 is rated R. People need it. It's a lot to digest. So we're going to go, we're only going to be able to cover so much of it tonight. We'll probably be talking about it again next week and everything as well. But for me, like, yeah, I'm going to go see it again. I've already got plans to go see it again this upcoming weekend. Adam, you've already seen it twice, or you're, no, he's already seen it twice. It is a lot to digest. So it is that type of movie where I think you do need to see it a second time. So I agree. I don't think it'll have the legs Black Panther did, but as Tyler pointed out, it doesn't need it. And even though I was in deep in discussion that as many people who want to go see it saw it first weekend, you're going to get a lot of repeat viewings with this, I think. Definitely. A lot of repeat viewings, especially we've got the Ant-Man Wasp trailer that was dropping, was waiting for this because it impacts it. The more we hear about the Captain Marvel movie over the next month, everything like that's just going to drive more and more people back to go look for clues, look for information in this. So money, basically all we need to sum this up is that Disney, yeah, between Star Wars and the Marvel purchases, acquisitions for Disney, you done good. That's all I can say.
Oh, one more note on box office. It hasn't even opened in China yet.
And that's your second biggest market. And
it's, I know.
And it was huge for the first two Avengers. It was a huge market. So, man, yeah, that $1 billion is definitely out of the way. What week does, did you see what weekend it does open there?
It's supposed to be sometime in May.
Sometime
looks like May 11th, I think it is.
Oh, okay. So we'll see a good boost.
So after right as it's supposed to be getting that dip in the U.S. market, it's going to release in China and just keep them going strong.
Yeah. Now, God. For those that don't know a whole lot about the box office, worldwide at least, let me get back here. China is a significant player, and especially now it just keeps growing and growing. And in fact, your worldwide box office, number three at 568 million is Operation Red Sea for the year. And it's, yeah, you haven't heard about it here because it was a big China release, but that was, yeah, $500 million from a huge Chinese movie. So you could see some movements there from China, definitely pushing it even further.
Yeah, all right. I mean, I guess last thing before we move on, like, where does it finish domestically and worldwide?
Great question. What do you guys got?
Because it's not going to catch Star Wars. Probably right, not going to catch Avatar. I would be surprised if it catches Black Panther. I would be surprised domestically. It'll pass Black Panther internationally without too much trouble.
Right.
I think it makes probably top 10. I mean, it's going to easily make top 10. And only five, like the cutoff for top 10 right now domestically is $500 million, which it's going to get to. But I don't know. Where do you guys think it finishes?
I think it finishes in that Jurassic World Avengers area, number five, number six domestically right now. And I think worldwide, I'll even give it a five, maybe a 5-6 finish, I think.
Yeah, so around 600, between 600, 650?
Yeah, domestically, and then that would put it over 1.5 billion worldwide, I think. I think right around there.
What's
That's
Avatar?
My guess.
What's Avatar's?
760. I mean, I always think this is funny just because of how much Star Wars skew stuff. The gap between the 10th highest grossing domestic movie of all time and the 100th is about $240 million. So from 100 to 10, it's a $240 million gap. From 10 to 1, it's a $436 million gap.
Wow.
Because Star Wars just breaks all the numbers. Like, yeah. Like Force Awakens might not ever, like we've said this, we said this about Avatar, we said it about Titanic, but I'm not joking. I mean, obviously it will get passed just because of inflation, but Star Wars The Force Awakens is not going to get passed for a while.
Long time. Yeah.
That was, there was a lot of pent-up energy for that one, though. Yeah. We were all waiting for a while for that. But, all right, so any other guesses on where it finishes domestically, worldwide?
I'm going to say top 10. I'm going to say 6. I'm going to say 675. And I think that's high. I think that's high. But I think probably it breaks 600.
I kind of agree with Tyler on that. I'd say about 1.5 billion worldwide.
So I think we're all kind of on the same page with where we think it'll end up. Adam's shaking his head. All right.
Yeah, I was just looking at the numbers again, trying to see 675 puts it all the way up to 4. That's crazy. I don't know, buddy. There's just so much going on this summer. Like,
yeah, I think it's hard to get to that 675. I think it can and breach that 600 mark, but getting high
into 600. I'd have to look at all the movies coming out to see if it could get a big push in late June, early July, maybe. Kind of a re-release around the 4th of July weekend or something to get some more screenings, but I don't know if there's a big enough gap in there.
Late July, you're talking Ant-Man Wasp. I think early July, you got Mission Impossible. You've got some big franchises still going through the summer.
Yeah, I don't know. And
we talked about it, I think, a couple weeks ago when we last recorded. There was tons of movies, I think, that we're forgetting again that we forgot last time that were coming out this year that were just big temple movies, Incredibles 2. Which, as crazy as it sounds, a lot of the same target audience as you're getting in the Avengers, because it's been that long since the first Incredibles. I mean, I know I'm going to be there. So Matt's rolling his eyes. I got kids. I got an excuse. All right. So we're talking numbers. Let's hear what we think about it. So one sentence from each of us, just overall opinion on it. Just one sentence.
It's hella good. With the hella.
All right.
It's real big.
Right. I think you hit the general idea, Iggy. It is a dense movie. Yeah. There's a lot going on there, a lot of storylines and really, really well done considering how much they did get accomplished.
Yeah. For me, it's just there's a lot to wrap your brain around.
Yeah, if I'm going to say it in one statement, I'm going to say they did it. They did it. What for years they've been building to do, which at times we've questioned, other people have questioned. We've watched DC fall short. We've watched other things fall short. And they did it. They brought together this many characters with this much impacting this 10 years worth of movies. So this impacts everything that's happened for 10 years. And we have moments of 3 seconds from Pepper Potts, from Gwyneth Paltrow. Gwyneth Paltrow is in this movie for 3 seconds. Like that's huge. Like you got a cast like this together and you made it work. And you had the biggest thing is, I think I've talked about it with a lot of y'all, is you have people walking out of the theater talking about it and not stopping talking about it. For me, to me, the more I think about it, the more I respect the Russo brothers for the genius. They did it. They did it. That's the way to put it. It was hella, it was hella good, hella dense, hella big, hella successful. And it worked. It worked. Whether you like, we'll get into the ending, because the ending, I think, is one of the most controversial pieces, along with a few kind of things peppered in the middle. Whether you like that or not, it did it. They did it. And so it's crazy to think that it was this big of an accomplishment. I mean, this is a huge cinematic accomplishment. And because it's in the comic book world, it in a lot of circles, it's going to possibly get dismissed for what it's accomplished, but it did it. So what do you guys think? What were some, just quick, I got some bullet points I do want to cover, but real quick, a couple highs, a couple lows without diving too deep. Again, this is spoiler heavy. So this is going right now, going into spoilers. So be prepared.
I mean, let's get it out of the way right away, because we've talked about it multiple times before. If Disney had the balls to do it, and they did it, they did the snap. They took the most iconic, Marvel comic book thing in a long time, in years, and they straight up just did it. as the end of the movie. So
can we talk about that scene a little bit? As I think Matt and I already dove into it deep this afternoon. Thor, I mean, we get the glory of Thor, and it's something I want to cover. Is we see not Sorcerer Supreme level, but we see Doctor Strange as Doctor Strange, and we see Scarlet Witch start to unleash. These are powerful, powerful Marvel characters that we have not seen yet and don't have a lot of experience to see there. And then Thor, we got a little bit of it in Ragnarok, but here we just see Thor become a god. I mean, he's a god, and he's shows. And he dives at Thanos, and then Thanos just gives him a quick little one line, and then, like you said, snaps his fingers. And I was like, that's one of those, like, oh shit, Thanos gangster moment. Gangster moment. I think it big enough that nobody's got anything else to say.
I mean, you know. Oh, and then we all talk. That really kind of covers the thing that really stuck out to me, and you brought it up, Iggy, already, was the how much they showed off people that hadn't had that chance yet. So, I mean, we don't need a whole scene of Black Panther destroying people because we literally just had that happen. We don't need a whole scene of Iron Man wrecking house or Captain America doing their thing because we've gotten all of that. But really getting, I like the way you put it, the glory of Thor, like just coming in and wrecking house and then everybody else holding their own against this unbelievable just onslaught of enemies, you know, it is, oh man. Yeah. The Thor part though is I've always liked the Thor movies and you guys always give me a hard time.
We just give you a hard time for Dark World. The other two are good. Ragnarok was fantastic, but Dark World, dude, we give you a hard time for that. It's rightfully so.
It's an enjoyable movie.
I'm really excited about Thor 4 now, which if it's not called Odin's Son and the Rabbit, just I quit.
Right?
Like I would watch the shit out of that movie.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, so they said with Gamora disappearing, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy 3 could just be Rocket Raccoon, because I think Rocket's the only one that's left. The rest of them all disappeared too.
So all right, let's
be Rocket Raccoon.
Let's clear this out, because this is like a lot of people's biggest gripes, and I don't have a problem with it. Like, there's good and bad to it. I feel like it makes it clear that it is the first of a two-part movie. But just so we're all clear, I believe that probably Heimdall, Loki, Gamora, probably done. Probably.
No.
I'm going to say, probably done. No one who died in the last scene is done.
So let's put it this way. So I think I've seen some people refer to it as real deaths. So people that died at the hands of Thanos or the Black Order, not from the snap, was, as you mentioned, that were significant enough, were Heimdall, Loki, Gamora, and technically Vision.
Vision, right.
You died at death. Yep. Now, who disappeared at the end from Thanos wiping out half of existence is Bucky Barnes, Black Panther, Spider-Man, Doctor Strange, Falcon, Scarlet Witch, Star-Lord, Groot, Drax, Mantis, Nick Fury, and Maria Hill.
So, literally everyone who we knew wasn't going to die for real.
Yeah.
Like this was absolutely a very clear, like they very made it. Like, that's the only thing that, like, people always complain about Marvel movies not having stakes. And to some extent, Marvel movies don't have stakes. Like, they have fake pretend stakes, but that's fine. And the snap, as we all know who read the comics, the snap gets reversed. Like, it gets fixed. I mean, they had some real deaths and some fake deaths. I know some people are mad. I'm not mad about it. Like, it's cool because in the world, it makes sense and it sets up, like, not because, like, obviously, like, they don't mean anything, but at the same time, like, this is the first time a Marvel movie's ended, and I'm just like, what the fuck are they going to do next? Like, where does this go from?
The only
people who lived are people whose contracts are pretty much up. Like, the only people who are alive are the original five Avengers and Rocket for some reason.
And Nebula. Comic relief. And now remember, Nebula, who is very important in the comic run of this, is also alive. So that's important too. Now, Bobby, you're trying to jump in here for something.
Black Panther's not dead. And neither is Spider-Man. Like, let's be real clear about that.
All right, Bob, what were you trying to say?
Oh, no, basically everything that Tyler just said.
Okay, there you go. So with that, I think, yeah, it's important to point out what I want to build on what Tyler was saying. For those that aren't in the comics, it was early 90s, I want to say, that the Infinity Gauntlet story took place. And it was a good story, but it was, I think it was only five or six issues in is when Thanos snaps his fingers. And the rest of the story is basically what we're expecting from Ant-Man and the Wasp, Captain Marvel, and Avengers 4 is dealing with the repercussions and trying to reverse it, basically. So those that are familiar with this understand that a little bit more. But that's, I think we were talking about it a little bit before we started recording. We're feeding this comic world, this thing that we understand because we've spent decades learning how to deal with it. We're now feeding this to a mainstream audience, a movie audience. We're now feeding time travel, reversing deaths, villains that can snap their fingers and do all the things of this magnitude being flipped. People eventually going to take over titles that weren't originally those characters, like Captain America and Ironheart and stuff like that. We're now feeding this to a mainstream audience.
So many people of the mainstream audience that they don't know to stay for the after credit scene.
Yeah.
Like, that's that still many people
during the credits.
I will have to say those credits were like 15 minutes long though, but I stuck around.
Yeah. And like people, and like, I think a lot of the mainstream audience, you know, also has trouble with the stakes, but like part of it is if you're a comic book fan, like we already knew the rules by the time like Infinity Gauntlet was what, 91, 92? We already knew the rules. Like no one stays dead in comics except for, I mean, the rule used to be no one stays dead in comics except for Bucky Barnes, Jason Todd, and Uncle Ben. And at this point it's like Uncle Ben. Except for, I mean, he's been alive. He's alive in a bunch of other universes, but not, you know, obviously the main one. But we know the rules. And like I think some people are get mad because it doesn't give it any stakes. And that's true to a step. But in the world, there are stakes. But I don't have a problem with it just because it sets the stage for what comes next. I don't know. Like, I feel like it, I have like mixed feelings about the snap, like how it was handled, like who they decided to kill and how they did it. But it gave some really good scenes, like the scene of Black Panther. I mean, my theater lost it a lot throughout the whole theater. My biggest complaint is the number of times, like every time a character just popped onto screen, the entire theater just burst out into applause, probably 10 to 15 times, if not more. Black Panther was literally just in a movie like 2 months ago.
He's in the screen right next door if you want to go see him.
But when he died, people lost their goddamn minds. Like when he started, like, oh wow. And then obviously
Peter Parker. Not get emotional at the Spider-Man part. You're not human. You're not human. That's all I can say right there is I can barely talk about it. Like that is a rough, rough scene. And I think that sets up a huge, huge play into how Tony Stark is going to impact the rest, because that's Tony Stark personally responsible.
He's going to be fucked right up. I mean, he already did his like PTS thing in number 3, but I think this is going to be on another level. I think Captain told you exactly what was going to happen in the second one in the movie. He makes a big point of saying like, we don't trade lives. We don't do it. We're not going to do it, but they're willing to totally let everyone sacrifice themselves. Like, we're not going to kill someone to save everyone else, but I will straight up kill myself to save everyone. I'm pretty sure the big five are done in two, and doing sacrificing themselves brings everyone else back would be my guess at this point.
At least Tony Stark. I think at least Tony Stark is the way to bet.
Cap's not going to make it either.
Yeah. Well, I think they're not going to come back for sure. I wouldn't be surprised to see both of them die, but if you only see one of them die, you're guaranteed at least one death, at least of the big three. And it's hard to, because you don't know. Black Widow is finally getting her solo movie. Is it a prequel? We don't know. So you don't know where that one's going. But those deaths, I agree. I felt like at least some of the original ones, get rid of them, keep us on our toes a little bit, that somebody's not going to come back. Because exactly like I said, everybody who evaporates at the end, you're pretty sure. Now, to not spend too much time on that, talking about the real deaths, like what, we're 2 minutes into the movie when Heimdall's getting stomped and Loki's neck just gets snapped. Loki, MCU's darling. Now I get it's Loki.
Air quotes.
It's death. Air quotes, death. But it's Loki.
I think he's dead.
I think they need to get rid of him. I think it's actually better for the MCU. They've been riding that for too long and too dependent on the is he good, is he bad idea. And when he pops up and you don't know
what he played to the very end. It played to the exact end of him. Right. Is he good? Right. Is he not? What's going to happen?
And I think they've been too dependent on that. And so I think it's going to be allow for better villains moving forward.
So, I disagree. but that's okay. We were sort of thinking about this earlier. When you say better villains, who does that include?
Well, like, okay. That's
like name somebody that's not a part of the Fox ownership that is a better villain.
Well, but the problem is Loki's not that good of a villain.
Loki's Loki was the only, well, I don't know. Red Skull was, I feel like Red Skull was actually pretty good, but people shit on that movie. Loki's really the only villain everyone pointed, that everyone always complained the biggest part with Marvel movies is the villains weren't relatable or good. And Loki was the one they pointed to, and he's an all right villain. He's a one trick villain. Like, it's the same trick every, like, they even like lampshaded it in Ragnarok. It's like, dude, you always do the same goddamn thing. Like, it's, I've caught you now. Like, and then until Killmonger. Killmonger is the first one that came out that was like, oh no, this guy's like really evil and relatable. I can see it from his point of view. And Thanos almost gets there, but not quite.
Almost. So close.
But with Loki, let's be super clear on this. For in the comics, Loki, it can show some power. We have, and that's where I still, we talked, just kind of briefly got on a little bit when we were talking about Thor mainly, but Doctor Strange, Scarlet Witch, Thor, and obviously who we're going to see soon, Captain Marvel. Those are four of your most powerful heroes you have in the in the Marvel universe. And we're getting some of the MCU. On the villain side, as you said, we were digging this earlier. Who do you replace now after Thanos is done? After Avengers 4 is done, we wrap this up. It's done. It's done great or it's done terrible, however they do it. Where do you go? You've killed off Dormammu, or you've bargained him off, excuse me, already. Ultron was wasted. I don't care what you say. He was wasted. And you have Loki who could have gotten to a certain power. You have, I mean, and then like you said, you've got to go over to the Fox side before you find Doctor Doom, before you find Galactus. You got Dark Phoenix. You've got these characters that are at this Thanos level of power. It's where do you go? And Loki is one of those characters that I don't feel in the MCU we ever got the full extent of what Loki could really do.
Yeah. I don't know if this falls into crazy fan theories, and so edit this out. No, but seriously, the one of the things that I've been talking about with people today is how Thor lost an eye. If Thor's brother is actually dead, in mythology, Loki is Odin's brother. This is setting up Thor to become Odin. He was wielding Odin's weapon in the movie. There's a lot of question mark winking going on that I don't know if I want to go too far into, but I did think that there was a lot of parallels there that was neat.
Also, they basically gave Thor Beta Ray Bill's weapon. That was a little bit weird. Although it's an axe, not a hammer, but
I mean, yeah.
Thor definitely got his time.
But there's plenty of other big bads they can bring other than Thanos and Galactus.
Well, the thing is if you're getting rid of all of the, you know, if you're going to have to get together a new team after Avengers 4, you don't need a like Thanos right away. You need somebody for them to grow with.
Yeah. Do like the leader or MODOK or I don't know, Mephisto.
We're really going to go MODOK.
First of all, MODOK
joked about Mephisto earlier too. Like
MODOK's badass. You back the fuck up off that.
So I'm saying.
I don't know. Do the Beyonder or Kang. Kang would be really good.
It makes sense. And earlier, before we start recording, Beyonder. I made a remark about this that we're starting to reach. But then again, now that I'm thinking about it, now you're bringing these characters up now. Guardians of the Galaxy put on the big screen is a reach. Captain Marvel getting her own.
Well, I mean, and if you, and
so
if
you're really, already reaching, we're already.
And
reaching.
Now that like Guardians have been mixed with everyone else, like if you go out into the weird ass world of Marvel Cosmic, you have shit tons of villains you can bring in. You can do Annihilation, and you can do, I mean, do all sorts of crazy stuff if you go out into the cosmic world. I mean, obviously Adam Warlock's coming, so like we've got that coming. So,
all right, so we're talking about villains. Let's talk about, I felt they were well done, but I felt at the same time they were somewhat dismissed, and that's the Black Order. So Black Order is the generals of basically Thanos' army, and you never get told they're the Black Order. You never even get told one of their names, but you have Ebony Maw, you have Proxima Midnight and her husband Corvus, and you have Black Dwarf. So Ebony Maw is the the very vocal one. We'll put it that way. He's the one with the telepathic abilities, very vocal.
Squidward.
Yeah, Squidward. Yeah. Proxima Midnight, which I thought was a wonderful adaptation. I thought she looked fantastic. She had the attitude, looked great. She's the one, obviously, that died at the hands of basically Scarlet Witch with the help of, you know, Black Widow there. And then you have Corvus Glaive, who is the one who, I think, was it Captain America he was about to kill at the end when Vision gets him with his own spear, which is important because when Corvus is wielding that spear, he's pretty much immortal, and the spear is very powerful. And then, of course, you got Black Dwarf, which went toe-to-toe with not Hulk in the Hulkbuster armor. So, I mean, that's a whole other story, too, to get into. But I don't know. For those of you that are familiar with these characters, I know Tyler, Matt, I don't know, Bob and Adam, if you guys have much familiarity, but I don't. What do you feel about them? What do you feel they did? Did they do them justice? Did they do them justice and not justice, kind of like I think, or what do you guys think?
Ebony Maw was the only one that really got any characterization, and then he kind of went out like a bitch. I mean, it was cool to see. It was funny.
I liked
it.
It was
so great.
It was funny. But I feel like they did kind of get short shrifted. They got no background whatsoever. They just showed up to be punching bags. The fight in Scotland was kind of cool. They each got a couple lines. I mean, Black Dwarf basically just mumbles a few times and swings his big ass hammer around, but they were more or less more unique punching bags versus like the big six-legged armored things. So Corvus Glaive, Ebony Maw was cool. That was about it. I think Ebony Maw, it's good they got rid of him quickly because he was obviously super crazy powerful, and I think it would have been awkward if he hung around the whole time because he made short work of Doctor Strange a couple different times. So.
Right?
Yeah.
So that was my biggest thing with him was that I liked how he went out with the whole like strategy, you know, like, all right, let's sit here and talk about an old movie. It felt better that way than just, you know, punching him to death. You know, it would have been way too throwaway-y. He was too big of a character to just toss away, and yet, you know, like they kind of did.
Well, and like too powerful to overpower, but something ridiculous like blowing a hole in the side of the ship to suck him into space, like it's believable that that would work, even though it's such a ridiculous thing to begin with. It fits. Having seen everything we had seen up to that point, I wouldn't have believed that Spider-Man and Iron Man and the Cape were able to take him down no problem.
Yeah, there was really no other way for him to go out, and it took three to take out Proxima. I somehow got muted again. It took a surprise attack on Corvus to get him. The only one I think is Black Dwarf, where I felt like his death was a little. But that's where, and let's talk a little bit about that. The Hulk, he gets beat on pretty hard by Thanos and a little bit by Black Dwarf there at the beginning of the movie, while Thor's ship is being taken over. So the rest of the movie, Hulk's like, "No, thank you, Bruce. I'm out." And Bruce Banner, very frustrated, trying to get him back into play, ends up in the Hulkbuster armor, and that's how he fights off Black Dwarf. So I don't know. What do you guys think of basically a huge Avengers movie that's pretty much Hulkless?
We got plenty of them in Ragnarok. It's fine. And this kind of they've done this one in the comics a few times. I think it was okay. Like he gets his one moment, he gets the shit kicked out of him, and then it's fine.
Well, I think Matt
Hulk smashed so many times.
I think Matt, as we talked about earlier, and so maybe you can put some better words on this because you were kind of bringing it up. That might be one of the other things too, where we're kind of just talking with Black Order, where it's if you know the comics, you know what the Hulk's up to. You know he's like you just said, Tyler. You know he's done this a few times, but for the average moviegoer, what the hell's up with Hulk? What the hell's up with Hulk?
And that was the biggest thing. I don't think it's too much of a stretch to think that the average person is intuitive enough to look at it and go, oh, the Hulk just got the crap kicked out of him for the first time ever. But, you know, like, I would have liked to see a line of dialogue, you know, when the Hulk goes, no, it's like, no, thank you, this sucks. You know, just like something else. Like, I don't know, like just a little bit more. And I'm not a writer. I'm not able to do that. I just... just a little bit more of an explanation than just like, I'm the Hulk and I'm whining. You know, like I'm gonna pout in my brain cave.
But speaking of characters missing, Bob, we haven't heard a whole lot from you. So what do you think about the excuse for Ant-Man and Hawkeye were on house arrest? That's why they missed it. We have other heroes who are actually being hunted by the government, and the heroes we know about show up to say, screw this, we're fighting this battle. But the two that are on house arrest can't make it.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I mean, lots going to happen, depend on what happens in Ant-Man and the Wasp. I mean, is it going to be somehow intertwined with it, or is it going to end up being during the closing credits where they kind of mesh it into Infinity Wars? I don't know, because everything that we've seen in the previews doesn't really fall. You don't see a lot of stuff meshed with what happened in this film. As for Hawkeye, there's been talk that he may be coming back as, what was that character? He was that coming back as another character, you know, but I'm not sure. So, you know, it'd be good. I like Jeremy Renner. I think he was good in the part. I mean, like I said, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. But like I said, the Ant-Man preview comes out, or came out Tuesday, by the time you watch this or hear this, that may show a little bit as what may.
Yeah, they held this big trailer for after release weekend. So yeah, while we're recording, we haven't seen it yet, but exactly right. We'll have seen that trailer by the time this airs. So maybe we'll have a little bit more information. But that's, I think, another big discussion point with the MCU is, last time around they had Age of Ultron, which had a darker, more serious tone outside the fact that everybody was throwing out Tony Stark one-liners through the entire movie. Yeah. And you follow it up with the more laid back comical aspect of Ant-Man. That's kind of what's happening here, it seems like, but I feel like it's harder to do that because there's still so much up in the air.
I would say without a doubt, based on like the first trailer of Ant-Man and the Wasp, that it does not take place immediately after Infinity War. I would say it has to happen concurrently or before. I mean, Infinity War, like after having thought about it, the movie feels like it takes place over the course of maybe 24 hours. Like
it seems real quick.
It's popping. I don't think there's any way that it happens anywhere. It looks too normal and too happy-go-lucky, fun, you know, Ant-Man stuff for it to happen after. Oh yeah, half the people on the planet just fucking died.
Right, that's what I was going to say. There's no indication that half the people you know are no longer in existence.
That's why I think if it's going to do anything, it's going to be end credit stuff.
Yeah, I would almost. I mean, we know Captain Marvel's not going to take place. It's going to take place 20 years before all this stuff happens. So I would be shocked if Ant-Man and the Wasp is happening post Infinity War.
So I see a lot of Ant-Man. You know, in the first one, we got Hank Pym talking about quantum reality, which could come huge into play, especially here with the time travel, the alternate realities, everything like this that we could see in this Marvel universe bringing a lot of these characters back. I think it makes sense for it to kind of be happening along these lines. Near the end of the movie, we see kind of somehow the events of what happens in Infinity War, and somewhere in play comes in the quantum reality. Maybe he's got to find a way to get back in time to get Captain Marvel, because I also see with Captain Marvel taking place in the 90s, released just a couple months before Avengers 4, I find it's going to be very disappointing if that movie takes place and then she's just been somewhere for 20 years as one of the most powerful Marvel characters with those powers for 20 years and never showed up in Infinity War. So I feel like somehow that, which we know we've already... Avengers 4 is going to be a big time traveling type movie. So I feel like we're going to have to pull Carol Danvers out of the 90s to get her help.
I don't think it's necessarily unbelievable that she's been off doing cosmic Marvel stuff.
She's encased in ice.
Yeah.
Packed Earth. This is happening.
I'm not saying that I my prediction right now, and I'm throwing this out there, just want to throw it out there, is in the second Infinity War or in, just because of her connection with like the Kree and stuff like that, would not be surprised if she was on Xandar when he came rolling through, and that's why she doesn't show up for the big stuff.
And that's a big possibility of origin style in the comics, especially Nova. This is how Nova's born. Like, that's where Nova comes from, is the Nova Corps destruction. And so we've got the groundwork for Nova. Like we said, at the end of Guardians Galaxy 2, we got the groundwork for Adam Warlock, and they're going to lay down the groundwork for Captain Marvel. So we're introducing some heavy hitters.
Now, here's the big question. Does Adam Warlock show up in Infinity War 2, or does he show up in Guardians of the Galaxy 3? Because Adam Warlock is the one who ultimately fixed everything. He's the one who puts on the gauntlet and, like, fixes it.
I don't, at this point...
I mean, I don't think they can let him be the guy who fixes it, seeing as he's someone we've never fucking heard of. Yeah. But he had such a big part of the original Infinity Gauntlet series.
I don't think... If he doesn't show up in Captain Marvel, I think that job's going to get moved to Tony Stark or Doctor Strange.
So we're talking about theories about where this goes. So let's dive into that. It was definitely on the list. Because the big thing I want to point out as we dive into this, there's two significant pieces. Thanos, the only other being he's ever cared about is Gamora. And it's important to understand is Thanos' children are all, in a sense, adopted. We'll call it like that. But they're all experimented on, beaten, just made generals of armies. They're all left like that while Gamora is groomed to be his replacement. This is in the comics. They definitely show that in the movies. They definitely show it here. So Gamora is somebody he really cares about. And the Soul Stone, which we talked many a times leading up to this, here, if you go to any number of websites that cover this type of stuff, didn't know where the Soul Stone was. She found it. Her soul was then traded by Thanos for that stone. And he had heavy regret. The other big aspect, too, that could be coming into how this all works is now having time with the Time Stone, Doctor Strange has a better understanding how to look into the future and do this. So he looks, and it was 14,603 possibilities. 605 possibilities? Oh, excuse me. 14,605 possibilities. And only one of those has the outcome to where it works. And he says he will not give up the Time Stone in exchange for Tony Stark's life. But he does. And as he's disintegrating at the end, he says, this is the only way to Tony Stark. So I think we have two huge pieces there that set this. And we're already talking theories about who comes into play, Captain Marvel, Adam Warlock, Ant-Man and stuff. But where are we building on this? Are we building on this? Are we going a different direction? Do we even have any idea? Or are we still just sitting here saying what the fuck at this point? Because
we're clearly in the timeline that Doctor Strange saw. Like it's not like an Easter egg or anything. That was made pretty explicit. Like this is the one of the ones I saw that actually things happen the way they're supposed to. I don't know what the next step is. Like I that's the thing. I'm still just shocked. Like, I don't know. I'm curious to see what, I mean, they obviously have a plan, but how they fix it. Does Captain Marvel show up and be like, all right, motherfuckers, get your shit together. Let's go fix everything. Come on. I need your help. I don't know, but
let's go, bitches.
Also, like, Tony Stark's like off on fucking Titan, like alone, just chilling.
Well, he's got Nebula.
So yeah, I don't know what the next step is. I'm very curious, but obviously that we're on the path that Doctor Strange saw to fix everything. So
I think if that's the case, you mentioned, will Adam Warlock play the big piece in fixing this? I think it falls on Tony Stark's shoulders. I think everything falls on Tony Stark's shoulders because you've built not only Avengers, you've built for this, Tyler. You mentioned it briefly earlier. You've built for this for years. Captain America has thrown it in his face that he is not this guy. In the early Iron Man movies, he made it clear he was not this guy. Then he goes out of his way to try to protect Spider-Man in both Homecoming and at the beginning of this movie, and then fails as Spider-Man dies in his arms, clutching to his life. And he's left on Titan. And I get Nebula's there, but he's pretty much, you get the feeling he's left there alone with everybody he was trying to lead, because he was leading that battle on Titan.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he becomes the most significant player in Avengers 4. I feel like, obviously, Captain Marvel is going to have a huge piece, but I feel like he becomes the main piece into fixing this.
Yeah, there'll be other people taking the power and the leadership role. He's going to be the heart, the soul, if you will. I mean, if we're looking at, you know, the mirroring the Infinity Stones, essentially. Someone's going to be the power and someone's going to be the reality, and someone, you know, they'll have all their pieces that kind of link together to attack that. And he's definitely the soul of what's going to happen as we go forward.
I agree.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think you're discounting Cap too much. I think it'll be a...
Oh, I feel like Cap
and Thor. I think it'll be a joint effort between Cap.
Oh, yeah. No, I think Cap has... Right, Cap's going to... Someone's got to steer the ship while Tony is completely broken. But everything that's going to come through is going to come through that heart of...
When it comes to that Iron moment.
Man needing to fix it, right? It's going to need to be him, for sure.
Yeah, I think exactly right. Cap.
We don't get to that moment without Cap, but yeah. Iron Man is going to have to be the one to do it.
Without either Captain. I think both Captains, Thor, probably, you know, even Ant-Man and probably even Hawkeye are going to play a significant part in it. But exactly, I think when you're at that moment, that decision, that sacrifice, whatever.
I don't think it's just him. I think it's him and Cap, like the two of them. Like that relationship has always been like, Thor's like there, but not really. I mean, he's never really, I mean, he's on the team, but I think everyone else is secondary to like the relationship between those two guys.
I wouldn't be surprised if, like you said, at least one, if not two of them die, but I see more likely that Thor goes off and rebuilds Asgard. That's his dismissal. He doesn't die like this huge honorable death at the end of this contract or whatever. I feel like he goes off, maybe like Matt, you were saying, maybe he becomes the Odin of the new Asgard or whatever it is, but I feel like that's his dismissal.
Thanos says that he only killed half of the Asgardians in the movie. If you like, he makes a specific point to mention that. And I thought that was kind of, because we thought that all of them were on that one ship, right?
When that panning shot, the ship's obviously broken in half, and I'm assuming the live ones are on the other half.
Don't take this from me!
Because otherwise, where the fuck's Valkyrie at? Like, we just got introduced to this super badass character, and she disappeared.
And Kree. And
more importantly, where is Korg?
Korg, yeah.
That's very important at this point. Now, Valkyrie was definitely a big question, but I think there was a lot of play. Is you don't see as much Black Panther in this movie, and you don't see any Valkyrie, is because this movie was written and mostly filmed. It was in post-production by the time those movies released. So I don't think anybody knew. And they might have assumed it was a possibility, but nobody knew Valkyrie was going to strike the chord she did. Like, she was huge. Yeah. And Korg, I mean, we knew he'd get the lovable piece.
I'm joking about Korg.
But I know, but seriously.
I'm not.
Audiences fell in love with those two characters. They really fell in love. Where are the Revengers? Where are the Revengers, right? So, but it's at the same time there, I think he got a lot to do. So for me, I think how I feel about the movie, and we're in closing time here, so I want us all to kind of share how we feel about the movie. I respect the hell out of this movie. And the more, again, as I said at the beginning, the more I think about it, the more I respect the genius that was put into it and what they accomplished. Is it a good movie? I cannot officially judge that until we get our next three movies, which is Ant-Man, the Wasp, Captain Marvel, and the unnamed Avengers 4. I feel like what they do in those next three movies determines whether this was a great movie or a waste of time.
I feel that's fair. Like, honestly, like until we know the next bit, like, you know, it's going to be very hard to pin down exactly, you know, exactly what we're doing. I like you said, if it's a waste of time or not, because, you know, right now, who knows?
That feels a little harsh, you guys. Come on. Like, this is clearly a very good movie. Now, do they screw it up in the future? Entirely possible. But that is, like, I don't think that you can reserve judgment for this film based on other movies that are coming out. Like, for me, this is a really good movie. And Iggy, you think you said it at the beginning, and I think it's probably true. I mean, this is a feat. You know, this is on par with Peter Jackson, Lord of the Rings. Like, these are like cinematic things that people didn't think could happen. Like, you can't build a movie universe for 10 years. You can't keep separate films tied together for that long to get something this scale. Just like you couldn't make a Lord of the Rings movie. There's too much going on. You couldn't do those things. Like, these were things that couldn't be done that are now, when you look at it, like, not only are they done, they're done damn well. Like, they did a really good job piecing all of this together. And so, like, even if they screw it up in the future, which we have no indication that Marvel would do, but is entirely possible, I suppose. This, I think, sets a very high bar, like higher than what Marvel has keeps setting for themselves. Like, this ups that ante just another notch. And that's impressive to me.
I agree that the bar is set high, and that's why I was saying I respect it. I respect all that it accomplished. I respect what it is for itself. But I feel that it depends too much else on what happens for to say that I can revisit. Can I, in 2 years from now, when the rest of this is out, can I sit down and revisit this movie again and not feel like I'm just going to waste 3 hours because all of it was just changed back with another snap of the fingers without some major accomplishment over the next three films?
It's unfair to put it on the next three films. It's really just this one and the next one. Like, this one and Infinity War 2. The next two, while they'll be connected because they required to be, I think it's less the quality of those than it is. Like, this is, you know, the Russo's baby. I'm not going to put it on anyone who's not them.
You know, the Russo's, how many movies have they made for Marvel?
I think this is three now. So they did Civil War, they did Winter Soldier, and they did this one.
I mean, and they have not dropped the ball on any of them. You know, I have faith that the second part of this movie is going to be just as good as this one. You know, the one thing I'm waiting for is the Blu-ray of the two movies put together. So it's like a 5-6 hour epic. You know, that's something I'm kind of excited about one of these days whenever it comes out. But I think, like I said, I could sit there and watch this movie by itself, knowing what happens at the end. But like I said, I think the second film is going to be on the same level, if not the same level, it's going to be higher, and the bar is going to be much higher with that one. I think you're going to see a definite improvement.
I agree with you guys, but as Adam pointed out, it could happen. It could happen. They could just totally fumble this one. It could somehow happen. I highly doubt it.
This doesn't become a bad movie just because the sequel's not good.
Yeah. I think the stakes are too high for them to drop the ball on it. I mean, it's just, I just don't think they're going to.
All right. We've done good. We're at an hour, and I think we've accomplished quite a bit on covering this movie. A few minutes left. Anything else you guys feel we're missing, we should say? Obviously, this is for an audience that's already seen it. If you haven't seen it,
I mean, there's a lot of things I think we could still talk about, like a lot of things. If I had to pick one, I don't know. There's a lot of relationships, a lot of pairing off relationships that I think some work better than others and some are more earned than others. There's also some moments that I think are pretty polarizing. If I had to pick one, I would say while it is very much in character based on the last two movies he was in, how stupid and frustrating is the moment when Quill just loses his fucking shit. Dude, hold it together for like...
That was the biggest problem I had with the movie.
Because it's 100% in character with Peter Quill. At the same time, it's really cheap that's the one moment they literally have it like barely off, almost off his hand. And then he goes and decides to flip the fuck out. So like it's a character moment that's very true for him, especially like if you're into the Guardians of the Galaxy movies, but at the same time, like, they put it in a spot that was very, he literally doomed the universe in one fell swoop.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think Matt and I went, well, we talked about that one for quite a bit, that piece, and even tied it into Wanda's, you know, Scarlet Witch's responsibility of having to kill Vision in Scotland and not doing it, and then trying to kill Vision at the end, and because of her connection there. But that's where I feel it's, I don't feel you could have done it any other way unless you left it out. Because exactly like you're saying, Tyler, that's Peter Quill. This is a person who was grabbed as a child, who has never been given any emotional guidance on any, like at any real level for this. He doesn't know how to handle it. This is the first woman he loves, probably at any capacity, first woman he cares about almost to the level of his mom, and he finds out she's dead. Like, what's he gonna, what are you gonna do? Like, it's one of those moments of there's certain people in the world that would be able to hold it together and understand the stakes, and there's other people that that's just their emotions are going to respond.
Oh yeah. I'm not. Yeah. It's a well-written moment for him. It's just not a well-written moment in the sense that it, they, I don't think it mixes well with like the one moment of almost success in the entire movie.
Well, you knew that was going to happen when,
you knew they weren't going to get the glove off, and you knew that like how it all set up, like that was going to happen. I feel like it's a really cheaply, of all the other I think so many other moments were handed so well, and that one just came off feeling kind of cheap.
Well, you know, I you knew he was going to react that way. I mean, like when he was supposed to kill her when Thanos grabbed her, I mean, he hesitated for so long, and then the bubbles come out of the gun when he finally decides to shoot her. So you knew he was going to react that way once he
well, I mean, you knew he was going to react that way based on just when he loses, and well, what he does to Ego after he finds out Ego killed him.
Yeah.
Like, so I don't know. There's a lot of other things I think we could, I mean, we could talk about this. I could talk about this for a while. We could talk about,
that's what I was saying. That's why I was trying to keep us on somewhat of a track, because this is a 3 or 4 hour discussion. And in fact, I think this is hour 9 or so for me today talking with you about it. It's been crazy. I even went after I picked up my kids from school, talked with my son about it for an hour. And Matt and I messaged for hours. That's why I was like, Matt, just join us on the podcast, because we messaged like half the day. And I feel from like 2 or 3 other people I was messaging, I've been added to it. There's an entire Facebook group dedicated to it that I was added to discuss. It's, and that's where I said, I think it's masterful that it is going to drive discussion for a long time, at least until the fourth one. And the two of them, the third and fourth Avengers movie together, possibly drive discussion a lot further after that because of what it's accomplished. But there's a lot. So we will probably talk about it more when we record again in the upcoming weeks. In the meantime, we always love to hear from you guys. Comments on the website, Facebook, Podbean, wherever it is, wherever you find us, send us an email to info@projectnerd.com.
And I've got a question for you to answer when you do that.
Okay.
Does this movie, and you guys can answer this too, do you think this movie drives comic book sales more than the others? Like, is this a movie where it gets so much going on and it has such a concentrated story that it's drawing from? Is this a movie that gets people to pick up the Infinity Gauntlet's story in comics and read those and then start reading more comics?
Honestly, I hope not. Like, it would be great. It would be great to see more of that, but the brutalness of the Infinity Gauntlet, like Iron Man getting beheaded, it is insane the amount of violence. Hey, like this movie was a little bit dark, but you know, maybe my 8-year-old can, you know, he can handle it. He handled the movie, he can handle this. It is such a step above that, like, I always want to see people reading comics. I always want to see them like diving into that. But is this, I don't know if this is the best one to hope for.
Well, I think that's a very good point there, because those that are familiar with the Infinity Gauntlet arc from the 90s, Thanos was basically washing his hands of blood through those first 5 or 6 issues. Like he is brutally destroying people, him and the Black Order. So yes, it is a lot more violent. However, I think it will. And I think from one example exactly is my son is very much a comic reader. He enjoys graphic novels and comics and reads a lot of stuff. He, outside of Spider-Man, has never really dove into Marvel. And after this movie, he's asking about certain Marvel series and arcs that are good or tie into this or have something to do with certain of these characters, and wants to pick those up and read them. So I think there's an example right there of it actually happening. Whether it's going to happen on a grander scale will still be determined. And yeah, I'd love to hear other people's opinion too. But for my answer, yes, seeing it.
For those of you who haven't read Infinity Gauntlet, I will say that many, many changes were made leading up to this and in it. But one thing that I think they changed for the better is they definitely, Thanos has always been an interesting character and he has some weird motivations. I think they did a good job of making him someone who is clearly insane, but at least, you know, deep down believes he's doing the right thing and is sacrificing stuff like that, as opposed to literally murdering half the universe to impress a girl, which is creepy on a level that I can't even talk about. So
look, you gotta impress Death. She's a nice lady. No, I don't know.
My only comment is should DC just give up now on making films? I mean, there's no way they're going to touch this.
Just stick to Wonder Woman, right?
Pretty much. Mean, they don't have to. They still, those things still make money. But
yeah, I mean, they
do well in the animated films.
Well, not only that, $260 million earnings on Justice League. We teased that it was the same as the $260 million is still a lot of money. That's still a lot of money.
It's still one of the 100 highest grossing domestic movies of all time. Like, you know.
And not only that, the other movies have made the money. As much as we like to make fun of them and tease them, they are. But yeah.
Also, can we also just as a collective group claim easily biggest surprise in the entire movie? Holy fuck, it's Red Skull.
Red Skull as the Winter Soldier. So I felt it was a nice tribute to the first character to ever have the Infinity Stone in the Marvel Cinematic Universe is the one who has to guard the last stone that we know about. So
I seriously did not realize that was him. I had looked at my brother and go, "Who's that?" You know.
Bob, I know. Can't look at you right now. Right.
I know. It was
My son jumped out of his seat. And that time,
once I heard his voice, once I heard Hugo Weaving's voice, then I said, oh shit. Okay.
Not Hugo Weaving's voice.
I do have to say that one of the most entertaining things is like, we went with a big group of people. One of my friends who went has obviously seen all of them, but like isn't like a huge fan. So she was having trouble like, who's that again? It's the Winter Soldier. He had an entire goddamn movie named after him. What are you doing? But I had another friend who went with me who has maybe seen 3 or 4 of the last 18 movies. Yeah. Maybe. Like Ragnarok and maybe he literally has not seen but maybe 2 or 3 of these things. And I've never seen someone so just baffled and confused about all things.
So, all right. Well, we are going to wrap this time. Thank you, Matt, for joining us. OComicCon.com. Again, Omaha Council Bluffs, July 13th through 15th. That is our next big show too, so we will see you there. We're looking forward to it. As well, Avengers, come talk to us there. Come talk to Matt there. I'm sure he'll be running around doing 9 million things, but I'm sure he would love to take 5 minutes to take a breather and talk Avengers then too, because I'm sure in a couple months we'll still be talking about it. But again, leave us your comments. Adam's great question. Does this drive comic sales? Let us know what you think. When we record over the next few weeks, we'll probably have more to say. And as soon as we stop recording, we'll probably continue this conversation. But at least for now, this is all you get. So thank you for joining us. Until next week, same nerd time, same nerd channel.